All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 35. Numbers, chapter 35. I want to share a few things with you tonight on the subject of giving. I want to show you the principles that are in this story about how God designed to take care of the Levites. So I remember the first time we went to Israel, our guide kept saying the tribe of Levi. And nobody understood what he was talking about. And so I said, Michael, are you talking about the tribe of Levi? And he said, no, Levi. Got it. And so I had to take a microphone from him and explain to everybody that he was talking about the Levites, the tribe of the Levites. And he called them, they all called them Levi. All right, so anyway, we're going to look at how the Lord provided for the tribe of Levi, but we're going to see in that description three general principles about giving that I hope will be a help to you and an encouragement to you. All right, let's begin in verse 1, and the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in. And ye shall give also unto the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them. And the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle and for their goods and for all their beasts. And the suburbs of the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites shall reach from the wall of the city and outward." So no matter which city, no matter where, once it was that tribe gave cities to the Levites, then they started at the gates of that city, from the wall of that city. And then they went outward 1,000 cubits round about. And ye shall measure from without the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, and on the west side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits, and the city shall be in the midst. This shall be to them the suburbs of the cities. And among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be six cities for refuge, which ye shall appoint for a manslayer, that he may flee thither, and to them ye shall add 42 cities. All right, so here he's given the cities of refuge. There were to be six of them. Notice the number of man. And these were for the purpose, if you accidentally killed someone, all right, you could flee to one of the cities of refuge, and that person who was killed, that person's family could not seek revenge upon you. All right, so that's what the cities of refuge were for. And there was also to be some space for the Levites around the six cities of refuge. Look at verse 7. "So all the cities which ye shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities. Them shall ye give with their suburbs. And the cities," this is my text verse now, watch this. It says, "And the cities which ye shall give shall be of the possession of the children of Israel, from them that have many, ye shall give many. But from them that have few, ye shall give few. Every one shall give of his cities unto the Levites according to his inheritance which he inheriteth. All right, now I'll stop reading right there, and I'm going to take my message primarily from verse 8 and give you some principles on giving. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, and then the message. Our Father, we ask now your richest blessings upon the preaching of the Word of God. And I ask you, Father, to help me as I speak. And I pray that you will bless our folks as they listen. And Father, help us to glean something tonight that we can hide in our hearts and be a better servant for you. And so, Father, I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit now and help me as I speak, and bless our folks as they listen. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. Once the land of Canaan was conquered by Joshua and by the 12 tribes of Israel, they were then given the land, a piece of the land that was to be forever for that tribe that God gave that land to. For example, up north was the tribe of Dan, and the tribe of Dan was to be as a fortress to keep folks from coming and coming down upon Jerusalem, upon the cities. And so Dan was to stay in that position. God gave them that land, and God prepared them. Oh, they were strong, mighty warriors. And God prepared them so that they could do the job that they were supposed to do in the north. And then you had Judah. Judah had the city of Jerusalem and all of that surrounding territory. Jerusalem, a huge tribe. So what happened was all the tribes were divvied up a spot, a piece of the land. And if you have a set of maps in the back of your Bible, you can, you probably have a map that will show the different tribes, and they're all mapped out and placed in there by design. God knew exactly what he was doing. Now, when you look at that map, you're going to see something, though, that if you've got a trained eye, if you already know, you won't be stumbled. It won't stumble you up. And that is this. The tribe of Levi does not have an inheritance from God. They were not given a section of the land. They were not overlooked, but they just were not given a portion of the land. All of the other tribes were, everyone, given a specific part of the land, and when given, the people of that tribe settled in their designated boundaries that were designated to them from the Lord. But the Levites were not given a tribal inheritance. Now, you might wonder why. And the reason is because God chose the tribe of Levi to be the priestly tribe. And all of the other tribes that were sometimes miles apart, I mean, you got Dan in the north, and then you go all the way down into the Sinai Peninsula, you've got a wide range of people all crammed into that land, and God said that under Judaism that we have a sacrifice that is to be offered for sin. And so each of the other tribes needed a priest to offer a intercession for them and to offer sacrifices for them. And so God ordered all the other tribes to designate 48 cities scattered all over the land, and they were the Levites were to move in, and they were to be taken care of by the other tribes. Their role, their duty, was that of being a priest, and it took all of their time. And so God provided for them. He gave them the land that was handed over to them free of charge, no ifs, ands, or buts. They were protected in that land. They were honored in that land. They were given houses in that land. They were given cattle and herds. Everything was provided for them. All they had to do was serve God and the people as priests. God did not want people from another tribe to have to leave their own territory and go to some other tribe to find a priest who could offer a sacrifice for them. So each one of the other 11 tribes had their own land, and God said, right outside the walls of your cities, and several of these had many cities. We're talking about 48 here altogether. And so right outside the walls of those cities, God designated that there was a territory that was specifically given to the Levites. So all the other tribes were to assist and help the Levites. All the other tribes were to give them territory. And the idea was so the tribe of Levi could spread across the entire land and serve their brethren as the priest. Now, 48 cities in all, 48 all together, all across the land, given to them by the Lord, and they were designated by God as cities for the Levites. God knew that every tribe of his people would need to have a priest who could offer sacrifices and who could teach the law and who could pray for the folks of his specific city and be there to give advice and counsel to the people. And so God ordered that the other tribes all do their part and provide for the care of the Levites. Now, that's what this passage that I just read for you is all about. And in these rules and in these laws, where the Levites were taken care of by the other tribes, the Lord gives us some good principles about giving that I want to emphasize to you tonight from this 8th verse. And there are three principles that I wish to give you tonight. Number one, I want you to notice who was to give. If you look at the third part of this verse, I'm not going to take them in the order that they're written here, but I have a reason for taking them in the order I'm going to take them in. But look at the last third of this verse, and you will see here where it says, "Everyone shall give of his cities unto the Levites." Everyone. In other words, all the other tribes were to give to the Levites. There was to be no tribe exempted from this giving. They were all supposed to participate. Everyone shall give. Each of the other tribes were to help by providing some parts of their land, of their inheritance, to the care of the Levites. It would not be considered theirs anymore. It was given to the Levites for them to live there. And notice that not one single tribe was exempt from the giving. Everyone needed the services that were provided by the Levites, and thus everyone had an obligation to give. So the principle is that every one of God's people are to give. That's the principle behind that, folks. We are all to have a part in the work of the Lord. All of us. There is no one that is excused. I've had folks say to me through the years, well, Pastor, you preached on tithing last week, and I appreciate that. Yeah, right. I appreciate that. But I don't have a whole lot, Pastor, so I can't give. Well, you're missing the point here. God wants everyone to participate. And that's why God set up the system of giving that he did. He did not make it so that it damaged one person and didn't damage another. I mean, that's not what God had in mind at all. The whole idea here was that everyone was to give. And God said everyone was to give a tithe. So if we give the tithe, well, then it affects all of us the same way. The tithe on a little may be a little, but you are still participating in the Lord's work. And that is what God wants to see. You see, we have the wrong concept on this. The Bible says that the tithe is the Lord's. That means it doesn't belong to you anyway. So why would you want to take what doesn't belong to you and put it in your pocket? You see, that's stealing. And you would discipline your children for stealing, would you not? And so we don't want to do that to the Lord. The principle is that everyone is to give to the work of the Lord. Listen, if you only make $100 a week, then God says, give me $10 of that $100. Take $10 of that, a tithe of that $100. That is the first principle in giving. If you make $10,000 a week, can I get a witness? If you make $10,000 a week, then give the Lord $1,000 of that $10,000. That's a tithe. And that's a tenth. And that is how God has blessed, and that is how God provides for his own. In this situation, they were to give to the Levites. But the principles are the same for us today in the church. You see, we're not supposed to sit back and let others do the giving. We're all supposed to do it. I know we sit here and we say, well, you know, so-and-so's, he's got a lot of money. He's a millionaire. Let him take. No. Well, you're saying you want him to get the blessings, but you don't want the blessings? You see, giving is where we get the blessings. That's where God looks at us. Folks, for God so loved the world that he, what? Gave. And that's what God wants us to do. Give. And we are honoring him when we do. I'll be honest with you. I believe with all my heart. And please know and understand, I have no idea who gives. I know I do. And I know many of you do, or we wouldn't be able to stay open. But I don't have any idea who gives, and I don't have any idea who gives how much. I know I give. But I believe with every fiber of my being that if every member of the Church of the Open Door gave 10% of what God has blessed you with and provided for you, that we would never have to worry about a single thing financially ever. I believe that. I know that a lot, most of our church family gives and gives graciously. I understand that you do. I could not look at the bulletin every week and not make that statement. I'm not fussing at you. Please understand. I know a lot of our church gives and gives generously and gives regularly. But do we all give that 10% that God asks for? Do we give that? That's the question. You see, if you're a child of God, you are obligated by God to give to the work of the Lord. Much of the financial hardships that many churches have to go through today are due to the unwillingness of people to give. I really don't understand how so many Christians do not take tithing, biblical tithing, seriously. Because, Christian, you really should. The application of this principle is inclusive of tithing, of giving that 10% to God, but the tithe is only where we start as Christians. Now, God expects us to tithe, but that's only where we start. The Bible in the Old Testament speaks of tithes and offerings. What's the tithe? That's 10%. But what's an offering? An offering is anything you give over and above that 10%. That is what an offering is all about. And so the tithe would be 10%. The offering would be anything beyond and above that 10%. Several years ago, back many years ago now, when I was first here as your pastor, we had a wonderful husband and wife in our church, and sweet, sweet people. The man worked here for a little bit and got helped get he was a CPA, and he helped, once he retired, get our books in good shape and get us where the auditors wanted us to be, let me put it that way. And sadly, the man passed away. He had a massive heart attack and passed away. And then his lovely wife moved to California to be with her children so that she would not be here in that big old house that they owned all alone. And I would often ask whoever was doing the announcements, whoever was making the announcements, and I think at that time it was Dale Kidd. And I would grab a hold of Dale before the service, at least once every month and a half. And I would say, "Hey, Dale, call on Bill to come up here and pray, and for the offering." And he would say, "Okay." And so he'd get up, make the announcements, call the ushers forward, and then look over. They always sat right over there. And he'd say, "Bill, won't you come up and pray for us?" And so here he'd come, and he'd walk up here on the platform. And the reason that I wanted him to pray is because I love to hear him pray. I mean, it was the sweetest thing. And here is what he would say. He would say, "Dear Lord, please bless your tithes and our offerings." How many of you remember that? Am I the only one that remembers that? He would pray that every time. Josh, you remember that? He would pray every time, Lord, bless your tithes and our offerings. Man, that makes perfect sense if you think about it. And it was always such a blessing to me. It thrilled my heart every time he would say that. Why did he say your tithe? Because the scriptures clearly tell us the tithe is the Lord's. It doesn't belong to you or to me. We're just giving God what's his. He gave it to us, and he says, look how I blessed you. Now, listen, give me 10% of that. Give me 10% of that. The scriptures tell us the tithe is the Lord. So in other words, the tithe does not belong to you. The tithe of your income belongs to God. You know, the truth is, none of us would have a dime if it were not for the blessings of God upon us. And you know that's true. And I'm sure that many of our church family gives a tithe of your income. And you do so regularly and consistently, and God bless you for that. But oh, how I praise the Lord for that obedience and for that faithfulness that is exampled in the church of the open door. Man, thank God for the giving of our folks. I was thinking the other day, and it was brought up to me down at the Sword Conference by the Brother Rossi. But he said, hey, brother. You know how he talked, hey, brother. And he said, remember that year where your church took up that big old offering for me? I said, no, I don't remember that. Oh, you do too, he said. And I said, yeah, I remember that. And he said, I've never gotten over that, brother. I have never gotten over that. And he said, all you did was tell those folks that Brother Rossi has a great need. And we took up $16,000 in one night. And I just gave it all to him. He fell on his knees when I gave him that. I said, look at it. And he said, well, I praise the Lord, brother. Whatever it is good. I said, no, Lou, look at it. We were back in my office. I said, I want you to look at it. So he pulled it back out of his pocket and opened it up and fell to his knees and praised the Lord. He didn't praise me. I didn't deserve any praise, but the Lord did. It was the Lord that used us to be a blessing to him and his family. Oh, praise the Lord for tithes, but also praise the Lord for offerings. The first principle that we can glean from this verse is the principle that everyone should give. I have said this over and over and over throughout my ministry. I've said this. You cannot outgive God. You can't do it. All right, second principle. I want you to notice what amount is to be given. The amount. Now go back to verse 8 and look at it. It says in the middle of the verse, from them that have many, ye shall give many. But from them that have few, ye shall give few. All right, now think about that. If you make $1 million a week, you ought to tithe $100,000 a week. Now we can handle that, couldn't we, Carol? But wait a minute. If you make $100 a week, you should tithe $10. You see, it's not the dollar amount that God's concerned with. It's the fact that everybody is participating. And God set up a system so that it's fair to the poor individual, but also fair to the rich individual. In other words, God is not taking money from anyone without there being equity in the tithe. That's a tremendous principle, folks. That's a tremendous principle. And the second principle here in this phrase is this. It is something that we should apply to every situation of our giving. Giving is from what we have, not from what we do not have. You see, folks, our God is an equitable God. The tribes that had a lot of cities, a tribe that had a lot of people, then they were to give more. But the tribes that were that only had a few cities were to give few. Now let me give you an example. A big old tribe like Judah would certainly have many more people than any of the other 11. They had the city of Jerusalem. They had that mountaintop and the people living all over that mountaintop. And they had the large tribe. But that little old runt tribe that was next to them, the tribe of Benjamin, they were small. They were this, they called them the runt tribe because they never multiplied. You want to know why they didn't multiply? You guessed it. They had a lot of homosexuality going on. And as you all know, two men cannot have a baby. They cannot. Yes, it's sickening. There's nothing new under the sun here, folks. God's had to deal with this for a long, long time. And so here's Benjamin. They have this outrageous number of perverts that, so naturally they would be the small tribe. They would have less land and they would have fewer people and therefore they would have fewer cities. So they would not have to give as much as the tribe of Judah, for example. And folks, this principle guided the Apostle Paul when Paul wrote to the Corinthians about giving. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, Paul told the people at Corinth that that church that he started, he said that they were to give as God hath prospered you. You see, that's how the Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't matter. We are to give as God has prospered us. Now, so many wealthy folks, they'll say, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to church. All they want is my money. I don't want your money. What are you talking about? You have never heard me say that I want your money. What you have heard me say is that God expects us to tithe. Now, I don't say that because it benefits the church, the open door. I say that because it benefits you. I want God to bless you. You see, if God blesses you, then I get the blessing as well. Not only that, if God blesses you, then all the rest of us get the blessing as well. And so that's why every now and then I will preach a message on tithing or I will preach a message on giving. So a wealthy person, when you think about it, ought to give more than a poor person. 10% of a million is a whole lot more than 10% of 100. Nod your heads. All right. But we are to give as God has prospered us. Folks, if the baseline for giving is a tithe, 10%, and we give that 10%, then God is going to bless as we give because we're giving biblically. Now, I want you to understand the progressives want Americans to give 90%. That's their goal. That's their aim. 90% of your income to the government. And they tell you that once they raise the taxes, if they get in, they're going to raise the taxes incrementally until we're giving 90% of our income. And then they say, we will then provide, the government will then provide what they deem essential services. All right? They call this democratic socialism. And that's what they're selling right now. That's what they're selling right now. But in reality, it is nothing less than pure old out and out Marxism. It's communism. Pure and simple. Marxist communism. But the principle of giving is according to what one has. And a poor individual is not exempt from giving, but neither is the wealthy man exempt from giving. And just through simple mathematics, a wealthy person is going to give more than a poor person. I've used this illustration with you before, but my mother taught me to tithe when I was in the sixth grade. I got a paper route, a big paper route. And it got so big that I had to hire my brother to help me. Yeah, I mean, it would take me a couple of hours to deliver all those papers because the subdivision had houses on both hills, and both hills were like that. And so I had to go all the way up on top of both of those. So I hired my brother to help me. Well, when I first started that paper route, I would meet the Charleston Daily Mail representative down by the entrance to the subdivision that we lived in, and every Saturday morning, and I would bring all the money that I collected, and I would then give him his money, and then he would dole out to me my money. And I remember the first time that I got paid, I went running home with $60 in my pocket. I was so excited. Man, $60, sixth grader, $60. I thought I was rich. And I went running in the house, my mom and dad, We're sitting there. Dad was reading the paper, and Mom was fixing something to eat for the rest of them. And so I went running in, and I said, "Look at this!" And I threw it on the table, and I said, $60. And my mom said, "That's not all yours." I said, "Wait a minute! Whoa, whoa, whoa! What?" She said, "That's not all yours." I said, "Yes, it is." She said, "No, it's not. God gets 10% of it." And I said, "Well, God didn't deliver those papers. I did." That was the wrong thing to say. Wrong thing to say. Man, she come around that table on me. She said, "Now look here. God says that you are supposed to tithe on what you make." I said, "Mom, listen, if God wants me to tithe, let him come and shove me up that mountain." She said, "It doesn't work that way. Do you breathe God's air when you're out there?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." "Do you use the energy that God gives you from the food that you get out of this house?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Then you owe God 10%. You breathe his air, you drink his water, you walk on his soil, you owe him 10%. That was on Saturday. Sunday morning, we got up, and Mom was getting everybody ready for Sunday school, my little sister. And so I came out of my room, and walked down the hallway, and there she was sitting there writing a check out. And I said, what are you doing? She said, tithing. I said, let me see. She says, no, it's none of your business. I said, well, you know how much I'm supposed to give. How much are you giving? She said, trust me, 10%. I said, all right. And then she took that money. It was still laying there on the table. I didn't pick it up. And she counted out six $1 bills, put the rest of it over here in a stack, handed it to me, and said, now you give this to the Lord's work. Yes, ma'am. And I've been tithing ever since. When I was in college, I worked, I had to work. And I got paid, and I gave 10%. I didn't have to do it. Nobody was watching me. I was on my own, basically. There was no mom there to tell me what to do, but I tithed. So, where to give? My point is, folks, my mom and dad's check, the tithe of my mom and dad's check was a whole lot bigger than my measly little $6. But they were still both 10%. Nod your head. You with me on that? That's what God wants, folks. Now, lastly, I want you to notice where to give. Now, look at verse 8 one more time. It says, and the cities which ye shall give shall be of the possession of the children of Israel. In other words, they owned it. But now go down to that colon, and after the colon, it says, everyone shall give of his cities. Now, this is talking about the tribes, not to individual people, but they were to do it as a tribe. Everyone shall give of his cities unto the Levites. They were to give it to the Levites. Now, they weren't to give it and then take it back. They were not to give it and then put restrictions on it. They were to give it. They were just to give. Our text says, unto the Levites. And now here's the third principle that we need to consider in this matter of giving. The 11 other tribes were to take care, they were to give to those who served them and the Lord. They were to take care, they were to give to the Levites, to those who served them and the Lord. Folks, plainly put, the principle in that is that we are to support the Lord's work. This giving was not for the world's charitable needs or for some lazy welfare generation. No, sir. It was for the support of the Lord's work. And by the way, by way of application, our primary giving is to help God's work go on. Now, if you want to give to the hundreds of charities, thousands of charities that bombard your mailbox and your Facebook and your Twitter and your Instagram and your television set and your iPad, if you want to give to all of those, then that's up to you. You decide if you can afford to do that. And if you can't afford to do that and you want to give, have at it. I have no problem with that. All right? But I'd be careful if I were you. Amen. I'd really be careful because some of those are going to take you to the pea patch. Now, in other words, it would not be biblical tithing. Listen to me now. It would not be biblical tithing to take 10% of your income and give 3% to the Wounded Warriors Foundation. And 2% to, or 3% to the Towers to Tunnels Foundation, and then 2% to the save this freezing dog from the cold. And then with the 2% that's left over, write a check to the Church of the Open Door and have the gall to put tithe on the front of it. That's not tithing, folks. The tithe is the Lord's. And it is to be given for the work of the Lord unto the Levites. Now, folks, there is a huge difference in tithing and in offering. Now, if you want to give the tithe to the Lord's work, wonderful. That's what you should do. And then if you want to give to the Save the Dog from the Cold organization, give to the Save the Dog from the Cold organization. That's fine. But don't cheat God out of what's His. Now, you're all happy now, aren't you? I'm just trying to get the truth to you, folks. I mean, 10% belongs to God. I don't know how else to say it. It is the Lord's, and it is to be given to the Lord's work. And then anything over that tithe is what God calls an offering. And God's tithes and our offerings. You can give your offerings anywhere you want to give them. I had a fellow come up to me one time, and he said, Pastor, this was years ago when I was in West Virginia, and he said, Pastor, he said, I know that I'm supposed to be giving tithing to the church. I said, yeah, what's your point? He said, well, so-and-so, and he was talking about this television evangelist who has made a mockery of the gospel. All right? He's down in Louisiana, and his name rhymes with Haggard. All right? With a T on the end of it. You know what I'm talking about? And so he said he's really struggling. I said, is that right? Yeah, he's financially having a hard time. I said, so what are you telling me? Well, I'm going to take 8% of my tithe, and I'm going to send it down to him. And I said, look here, man, that's not biblical. What do you mean that's not biblical? I said, the tithe is the Lord's. Oh, the Bible doesn't say that. I said, yes, it does. And I opened the Bible and I showed him where it was. And he looked at me and said, well, he still needs help. And turned around and walked away. And as far as I know, he sent 8% of his tithe down to Jimmy Swagger. Folks, how is it that we can get so many things so wrong? When it's as clear as the nose on your face, the tithe is the Lord's. It's clear. Now, we don't have Levites to give to today, but we have the Lord's house to give to today. And that's what Paul said on the first day of the week. What do we do on the first day of the week? We come to church. He said, on the first day of the week, give. Give. So the principle is there. And folks, we have the Lord's house to give to. We fulfill the Great Commission by supporting missionary families. I don't know that all of you know this. I hope you do. But we have many, almost 100 missionary families that we support $100 a month. When I came here, it was $5 for this one and $10 for that one and $30 for this one, and I said one day, we gotta even this out. And I went through that thing and looked at some of the missionaries that they weren't missionaries, and I yanked them. I said, I'm not giving money to that. They're on an extended Caribbean vacation at our expense. How many people you led to Christ this week? Well, none. Why? Well, it was raining down here this week. Let me ask you, what Bible are you using? Well, we use the NIV. I said, you do realize that's the not inspired version, right? So I cut all that off. Not sending money down a rat hole, no sir. Not your money. And so we've picked up a lot of missionaries and we support them, except for our own people, and we give them $500. I mean, our kids that go to the mission field, we give them $500 a month. We jumpstart their deputation. Amen. It's the way it ought to be. I'd like to support them full, just fully. Just fully. And we may try to get there for some of our kids. That way when they come home, they call it furlough, and where they can rest and where they can get their health back and where they can get their strength back. But they come home from furlough, have to rent a car or buy a car and then drive all over the East Coast and visit their supporting churches. Because if they don't, they'll cut them off. And wouldn't it be great if they just went out in the church? The church gave them their support. Just send them over. Just send them over. I wish we could do that. We ought to pray about doing that. So it's the faithful tithing of our church that we depend on to do the Lord's work. And that's what I want you to understand, Christian. Oh, how we need to apply these principles of giving to our lives. We see these three principles in the eighth verse, and they should guide us as we learn about giving in a biblical manner. We have to provide for the needs of this building and that building and those buildings. We have to provide for the needs of that stormwater management pond. And we have to supply for the needs of our missionaries. And we have to supply for the needs of our pastoral staff. And that's why we tithe. And who do we rely on to pay for these things? We rely on the tithes of God's people. And so, Christian, let me challenge you to go home and refocus on this matter of tithing. The Lord always provides and supplies our every need here at the Church of the Open Door. He always does. Say amen, Carol. Carol's our financial secretary, if you all didn't know that. I think everybody does. But man, there's been times where she's come in and said, Pastor, would you, could you pray about this? We need this, and we don't have it. And so when whatever it is she needs is due, somewhere we'll get a check in the mail. We'll get somebody's settlement that they gave money to the church at their death. Amen. And boy, it always just provides. You know why? Because this is the Lord's work. And he uses the Lord's people to finance his work. May God help us to remember biblical giving. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you now for the privilege we have to serve you. Thank you for the privilege of giving. And Father, we have witnessed, we have watched how you miraculously provide when we do what we're supposed to do. You provide for the church. You provide for our missionaries. You provide for our pastors. You provide for Carroll Christian Schools. You just provide for everything we do. And Father, we rejoice in your blessing. And I pray that folks will get these basic little principles about giving and help us, Father, to give as unto the Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.